Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
The Killer Bees!
ESPN 97.5 and 92.5 proudly present The Killer Bees.
Definitely a fan of The Killer Bees.
Don't sweat the technique.
Now from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, bringing you the fastest 3 hours in Houston sports radio, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
Ooh, what up, big town? Hey, how we doing?
He's Blank, I'm Branham, it's Brian. Brian's behind the glass on a Wednesday. First day he showed up for work. It's
Look
a Wednesday.
What the beekeeper brought back in.
He went ham for the Super Bowl and had to miss 2 days.
Yeah, that's exactly what happened. Yeah.
And the Twitchers were rejoicing that you were gone, by the way.
Oh, yeah.
Hate to
I
be
know
the bearer of bad
news. I'm well aware.
Also, I think you've committed a parking foul.
Another one?
Yeah.
Right off the bat when he comes back.
He doesn't believe in the parallel principle.
Saying I'm sideways?
Yeah, like your car is not.
What?
You look at a parallel
your phone
angle.
Like you took a picture.
Oh,
of
I
it.
Did.
You're such a narc.
Look at his back tire. How much closer it is to the line than the front tire. He doesn't believe in the parallel
principle.
Yeah,
but he's inside the line.
He is inside the line.
So
but
he's
he parks.
Fair.
I don't know, man. Like
he's
I don't
in
know.
Play if he's inside the line.
I feel like when you park
you
at such an angle,
takes a ruler
though,
out and measures each wheel to see exactly how close it is to the line.
I don't need to do that because these old eyes never fail me.
I think they did, if you think that's a problem.
I'm curious. That's why I said I think he committed a parking foul. Because, yes, he's within the confines of the two lines, but he's parked at such an angle within the confines that makes it very difficult for that car on the left side of his vehicle to fit into its confines.
But as long as, I mean, because like from the letter
know.
Of the law, as long as he is within the two white lines.
Yeah, no, I get for within the letter of the law, but I'm wondering if this is Bush League.
I think,
like if it's
I
one of
the
it's legal, but Bush League.
The respectful thing would be like if you know, like if, most people, if they back in, they're probably getting out of the driver's door. If they
yeah.
pull in, then you're looking at that left side again where you're like, okay, that's where I should be more respectful of a little extra space because that door's
yeah, I'm not
open.
Affecting the driver's
I don't
side door.
Know. Well, the car next to you backed in. So,
well, that's on them. I was there before them.
Oh, were you?
Yeah.
Okay. He parks like a slash. It's weird. He doesn't park straight, this Brian guy.
He parks like a slash. I just hope you all can find
so
someone
weird.
Who notices you as much as Jeremy notices my parking.
It's weird. Well,
Jeremy
you,
has eyes for my parking.
You also don't. Pull in the well. One, you pull in with a truck, which
yeah,
is
that,
weird, and we've talked about this.
Been had.
But you also don't pull into the furthest extent, so you leave your rear out hanging over the middle of the road, which is the problem that I had with AJ parking the company vehicle. Is that he parked it really close to the
How
ramp,
much of a gap
and he
is
left
there?
It out like 2 feet, so everybody had to go around the company vehicle to go down the ramp.
I'm not sticking.
Brutal.
I'll look at it when I go out because I honestly didn't measure it or care to, but I like if I pull all the way forward to where my tires are touching the concrete of that little walkway, then my car overlaps the walkway.
Yeah.
So I mean, it's not going to be perfect. If I pull all the way forward, then I'm blocking parking or walking path, or we're talking parking path. So there's really not a perfect answer in my opinion.
That is true. That is true. I will admit that is true. So it is a very fine line that Brian has to walk.
Yeah, I mean, I think a lot of times I try to think about it, but a lot of times I'm just pulling into parking. Like, did you see that they now changed where we can park?
No, I didn't.
I don't listen
to the rules.
I mean, there's signs now, which is crazy. Like the covered parking, if it's available, I'll look. You know, I'll take that first, especially if it was raining like yesterday. But otherwise, I don't mind parking it. You know, on the other side of the park, across the parking lot. Closest to the fence.
Yeah.
Now they put up like the first 10 spots. No SUVs or trucks, compact vehicles only. I'm like, what are we doing?
Oh, over here to the side?
Yeah,
they're just smaller?
Quarter. Yeah, I guess. I don't think they're any different size.
Maybe they're just trying to do that for space.
I guess.
I don't park over there. I park over on the opposite side. I find it to be a little quieter there. a little friendlier over there. That's why I don't like Brian to park over there. He ruins up the feng shui of good parking spots. Anyways, I digress. Enough about parking talk, right? Budo's giving us some hate. I'm glad we opened with parking talk. What do you want to talk about? I mean, it's February 12th. Football season's over. The Cougars didn't play yesterday, so we can't talk about them. The Rockets play tonight against Phoenix, which are they rivals? Like, they kind of got into it. They were a little chippy last year. Remember, they were chippy last year.
Yeah, but they were a little chippy. Based on where both teams are in the standings right now and the fact that we haven't had, like, a history of, like, series recently where they would be going at each other in a knockdown, drag-out seven-game series.
Yeah, I mean, when was the last time you really say they're, like, rivals?
Okay, maybe rivals is too strong.
When Barkley was there?
Do they have beef?
I could see them having beef.
With who?
They Booker? Like push, oh, Booker, they like push yeah, each Booker, other and stuff.
Was it Booker and Amen?
I think it was Jalen.
I thought Amen was in it with Booker, too. But Booker did get into it with a few guys. But, I mean, I don't see it because I think that whether you believe that they really do, that they have this toxic relationship in the locker room or not, they got problems. Yeah. Like, they're not in the playoffs right now with those three big contracts and those guys. They got a whole lot to figure out that I don't think they can figure out before the playoffs start.
See, parking's way better than this. Parking conversation's way better than this conversation. Rockets are 9.5-point favorites tonight.
9.5?
Suns are coming off a back-to-back.
And they lost in Memphis last night. That's a lot of points.
They were at home. I don't know if that matters.
Oh, were they? I thought they were at home. I thought they brought the banner, but they were in Memphis last night.
No, they were. ESPN.com says they were at home.
Because Ja gave him the ball even though they won and they were at Memphis. I thought Ja.
Well, that's because he hit the he hit the 30, milestone or whatever it was.
Yeah, but the home team, Ja doesn't have to give it to him.
What?
The ball is the home team's ball, so if he gets it, the Suns just give it to him, not Ja.
Yeah, I mean, I think Ja just had the ball at the end of the game and was like, hey, man, here you go.
Maybe so.
I think that's what happened. But now since Brian's back, we can talk Texans offensive line again.
Sweet.
But you're waiting on me to talk about offensive line?
Waiting might not be the word for it. Maybe just we didn't want to talk about it. Now you're forcing us to talk about it.
Yeah, no, like you couldn't overrule me in the rundown?
No, you have final say. Oh, okay. You are our, I don't want to say boss.
The
you're certainly not
are?
Talent. Maybe, I
rundowns
don't know.
Are.
Rundowns are?
Yeah, I'm fine with that.
I'm not sure that I'm fine.
Czar?
With that. Yeah, Czar's a little
powerful. Let's invoke some authoritarian imagery here.
Let's go with like supervisor.
Eh.
Manager.
Sounds less,
what
sounds
should
less intimidating.
What should
manager, supervisor, or czar?
Certainly not czar. Certainly not a suit. You can't even park correctly.
No, you wouldn't catch me in a suit.
What is your authoritarian name? I don't know.
713.
Yeah, what is Brian's authoritarian name? 713-780-ESPN. But we don't like talking about offensive. I wouldn't say we don't like talking about it. I'm just getting sick of it, if I'm being completely honest. I'm already getting sick of offseason talk for the Houston, and we'll talk plenty of it, don't you worry. But every single article that I read and every single, like, you know, little clip that I hear from wherever, and I mean, all these places do great jobs. I'm not disparaging their work by any stretch of the imagination. National, local, whatever the case, all that I continue to hear is this argument between offensive line and wide receiver, which is the bigger priority for the Houston Texans going into the offseason. Is it the offensive line? Is it the wide receiver? 713-780-ESPN. HRP listener line. What's the bigger priority? 713-780-3776. When was the last time an NFL football team had one priority and only made one offseason move to fix one thing? What are we doing here?
The Eagles.
You don't pick just one.
The Eagles.
What do you mean the Eagles?
The Eagles when they drafted, remember when they had such a roster full of talent and they walked into like a top 7 pick or 8 pick? And it was like, well, if they
I don't remember this.
Oh, this wasn't that far. This wasn't that long ago. Where it's like they could actually take whoever they want because they really don't have the needs of other teams.
Was this when they took Jalen Carter? Like,
no. Well, maybe it was that year too. But there was two where Howie Roseman. It was like, you know what? They are a really good football team. I think they were a playoff team, and they were like, well, but they also
they had
have
somebody's
a,
pick.
They also have they had somebody's pick. It was Tennessee or somebody. They'd made a trade, and they were like, oh. Well, they can take whoever the hell they want there because they really don't have that really pressing need that most teams have drafting because, they, you know, in a lottery or whatever, the top 5.
Yeah, but I'm sick of this. Like, do you think that the Houston Texans are only going to make one move Do you think they're only going to do one thing? Do you think they're only going to pick one receiver, whether it's free agency, trade, or in the draft? Are they only going to pick one offensive lineman, whether it's free agency, trade, or the draft? Why are we measuring the bigger priority between the two? Nick Caserio is not sitting there behind his desk in his glass house that does not have windows and is sitting there saying, you know what, I have one stroke of brilliance that I'm going to make. No, he's balancing everything against everything to try to make this football team better. And it might come down to the price. Like, if fixing the offensive line comes at a very, very expensive premium, he might feel that it's better suited and he's going to help the team in a greater way by spending less at the wide receiver room and then maybe using that excess savings somewhere else. So this whole, like, which of the two is very important? You know what's important? Fixing the football team. Making the football team as good as it can possibly be. And if you only have the money for one move and you're going to blow it on, you know, a right guard that's average, it might be better to spend it in two different places. So I don't like the whole priority, which is more important. And that's all that we're hearing.
I understand your point. I think the biggest thing is that, I mean, I think we did three or four or five in terms of what are the pressing offseason needs. But when you look at it, that's where we kind of just say, hey, look, as a general manager, Nick Caserio, you've got some work to do because – we know how bad the O-line has been all year. We know that Tank, you shouldn't expect Tank maybe at all next season. You know, if it's Diggs or somebody else, you got work to do to get a second receiver. We know that's a priority. We talked about, you know, from the standpoint of another offensive possibility would be another running back. From a defensive possibility, would it be safety? Would it be an interior defensive line? Who are you losing? So that's where the biggest challenge comes from Nick Caserio because, yeah, it's fun to write about it, point about it, and talk about it. From Caserio's point of view, if you want to take that next step from a get to the next level, there probably is, you know, five or more areas to address.
Yeah, and there's not a single general manager. Look, you have your weaknesses and you have things that you want to address, no doubt about it. But there's not a single general manager in the NFL or any sport that is sitting there going, you know what? We got to pick a priority on what's more important between the offensive line or the wide receiver room. No, that's not how they think. So why are we continuing to do that?
Well, because it's the fun fodder of no football.
Is it fun?
For writers, it's a fun. I mean, I don't want to say it's easy because you still have to do some research that you don't just pick a team and just go, I think that they need without kind of, you know, looking at what they have, who they drafted, things like that. But I think that now that we're in a dead time for football, but people are still clamoring for football stuff.
It's been 2 days.
But people, look.
It's been 2 days.
People whose team, you know, they have their teams and they know that they didn't play in the Super Bowl except for, you know, obviously the two teams that did. Hey, how do we get better? What are we looking at? And so I think that's an easy pull for writers.
Yeah, I'm feeling, I don't know what I'm feeling today, but I'm feeling a little, I'm feeling obnoxious, actually. That's how I'm feeling today.
You woke up and you felt obnoxious?
I woke up and I felt obnoxious. Yeah, probably listeners right now are saying, well, that's more days than
how
most.
Often would you say that happens on average?
Sassy.
At least half the days. At least a majority of the work days, for sure. Maybe I don't wake up feeling that way on a Saturday and Sunday. Maybe the obnoxious gets left. It's weekdays. But yeah,
you have a Cougars game to look forward to. Maybe you're less obnoxious.
I haven't eaten today, but I've had a lot of coffee.
You haven't eaten anything?
No, I have. I didn't. I don't know why.
Well, there's your problem.
It's not the carryover of the boiler room.
No, but I am trying to use that as a way to like fast track me into not eating as much. Mm-hmm. Like, don't let a good virus go to waste. Right? Don't let a good food poisoning go to waste. It's like in politics they say, don't let a good crisis go to waste. That's what I'm trying
to
do with my food
poisoning.
If you have
the flu or something and you drop like, you know, 5-10 pounds, then how do you kind of pick up from there and not try to put it all back on right away?
I dropped 7.
Really?
Yeah, my appetite hasn't been very big. Like, usually I eat like a madman. I eat way too much. Uh-huh. I probably comply to the 5,000 calorie diet. So my appetite's been low since I was food poisoned on Sunday. So I'm trying to use it as a catapult to continuing to eat lesser, trying to continue to eat less. So I don't know if I just never got hungry today, but the high octane of caffeine and the no food at all.
I don't know, an empty
has
stomach,
me feeling obnoxious.
An empty stomach with just coffee and it feels like
you had a lot of caffeine.
Tons. I drank 2 pots today.
Do you get jittery?
Oh yeah, I mean I get jittery every day.
But I'm saying
I don't stop drinking coffee until I feel a little My heart's going to beat.
I didn't know what that movement was for those watching.
Whenever
the video portion of it, I was like, you had to go to the bathroom?
No. Whenever I tell myself I need to stop drinking coffees, whenever my heart palpitates. Is that the right word? Palpitates?
Yeah.
I don't know what it
is. I think you got the
something
right.
Like, it's one of those two.
I think you have the right word, but the wrong mindset.
When
I don't know
my heart skips
be...
a beat is
yeah,
when I stop drinking.
That's right.
Heart palpitations, yeah. The moment
the
that I have...
The anxiety feeling.
I don't know if it's anxiety.
A lot of times they associate, like, you feel like the anxiety when you don't literally feel your heart skip a beat, but you get that anxiety feeling.
Oh, really?
In your chest, yeah.
I feel like I get lightheaded. I feel like I'm going to pass out. And then I can feel my heart skip a beat. That didn't happen to you guys?
No, but the anxiety feeling for sure.
The anxiety, definitely, I get that.
Oh, by the way, what was your Starbucks message today? I almost went to Starbucks today to get a message.
I got to tell you.
You're a little disappointed?
I don't remember. I didn't look at it.
What's wrong with you?
Well, was this a nationwide thing?
So Starbucks, we talked about this yesterday. You would have known if you were listening to the Killer Bees 3-6 weekdays.
So what I do is I get the venti Americano, but I save my Trenta cup, the bigger cup, because when I bring it home, I put my own creamer in it. Oh, so
that's a little elitist.
No, it isn't.
I think so.
No, I don't.
Is that elitist?
What's 713-780-3776?
They don't happen to have... I get the flavored creamer.
With gold flakes in it?
That they don't have. They don't have that flavor. And so I don't ask them to do any extra work. I just take it home, put it in a bigger cup so I can put some creamer in it. And then it's like the water cup. There's nothing on it as opposed to whatever they wrote on that because I tossed that one.
I got you. So they didn't write it. You don't know if they wrote on it.
I don't.
No. Yeah, they're writing on every cup now, Brian.
It's mandatory.
Something like nice. Like we saw, there was a Starbucks cup in here yesterday. And somebody named Aaron was here Saturday morning. Do you know who that could have been? We were trying to figure it out.
No, it's not anybody on the bullpen. I don't know who that would have been.
It was like a 7 a.m. Saturday Starbucks order for an Aaron.
Oh, well, that would be the golf show. So maybe it was it must have been a guest for the golf show.
Oh, okay. With Will Doctor and Charlie Epps?
Yeah,
the dark market's been down this year. I've been keeping track. I hope the doc market goes up.
For Will?
Will Doctor, the doc market.
Not firing on all his picks.
No, but he started slow last year and got hot. So I think now is maybe
the
time.
Dial it in for
you
the new
play,
season.
You got to play the lows, right? You got to buy the lows with the dog market. So we'll see if
buy
that helps.
Dip.
But anyways, Aaron's Coffee, who I have no idea who that is, it said short and sweet. Blankers said that a few of his had been like number one customer, which I call baloney.
I don't know. It seems like Joel is there a lot. So yeah, maybe
and I know the people by name. And
he might be number
have
one
friends
customer.
That work there, yes.
Until he insults them by going home to put in his own creamer.
Yeah, no, it might be insulting to them. They might not like that you're telling that. You're putting down their creamer.
You might not be the number one customer anymore.
All right, 713-780-ESPN, HRMP listener line. Busy show. It is a Wednesday, so we'll talk about a lot of things. A lot of crazy stuff going on in the NFL. These Alex Bregman things are making me sick, too. I'm getting exhausted by them. We'll make mock drafts great again. We'll do a lot of things today. 713-780-ESPN, the HRMP listener line. We're on Twitch, twitch.tv/ESPN97.5. We're on YouTube at ESPN Houston. We're on Twitter as well. Did you know that? At ESPN975. Blankers at Pac-Man Joel. Brian at Sack by BMAC. I'm at Jeremy Branham. So I'm sick and tired about this bigger priority offensive line, wide receiver. It's making me sick. But let's talk about those wide receivers. Which of these wide receivers would you want? 713-780-3776. It's the Killer Bees, ESPN975 and ESPN925.
The best in Houston sports talk is ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's the Killer Bees with Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
The Bees. Brian's been gone 2 days, doesn't know when to turn on the microphone. See that? It was a false start by Brian.
Well.
What do you mean, well? It was late.
You have the buzz.
No. I'm saying, what's better, that or... AJ, a couple times, had hiccups where he didn't start the bump music and there was dead air. So it happens.
That happened?
Yeah.
How'd you know that?
First day. Because I looked at because he knows. And I looked at him and I was like.
But he's part-time. Like, you get a. He has.
So he gets a pass that Brian just doesn't get.
Wouldn't you think so? Don't you think that's fair?
I do think that's fair, actually.
Yeah.
You wouldn't, as
but I think once
myself,
you get to the point
fair.
Where you're producing a live on-air show, that there's the expectations go up.
Yeah, I would say so. But Brian should be running a show better than...
True.
...than age. Yeah, no doubt about that. 713-780-ESPN. A master on Twitch, J-Bone, reminding me of my wife right now. Park your car right. Vermont said that B-Mac should leave the keys in the car so J-Bone can repark it. I would.
That is a good idea.
Would now, it might get stolen. That? Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Back in the old days, people would leave their keys in their car in case they left their lights on. Right, Blinkers?
Yes.
Yeah, that would used to happen.
What time period are we talking about?
And in the summer, 60, we'd leave the windows open with the screens if there was a nice breeze. And a lot of times, a lot of people in the neighborhood would leave the back door unlocked.
Yeah, or they would, that. And, like, if you would leave your windows down, and if it started raining and somebody saw it, they would roll them up for you.
I'd walk right by the windows.
Yeah, I know, because you're a millennial. Like,
so are you.
Different world. Yeah, but I have old school principles.
That's one word.
I'm a
for
millennial,
it.
But I identify as a boomer. We know this.
Yeah. Okay. There we go. You identified it. Yes.
Houston Dab. What did they write on Joel Blank's cup? 713-780-3776. Wrong answers only. 713-780-3776. Hugh Dab says, "Great smile." Do you smile at the baristas?
No. It's one of the many hot buttons of my major support system in the Twitch community that I don't smile enough for them.
They need your smile.
They need the positive affirmation because their life sucks so bad living in the basement that they, and when, you know, grandma raises the rent and takes away a hot meal and gives more chores, it's a tough situation.
Who's a fat guy in his underwear living in his mother's basement.
I've been accused of having resting JB face, so I can relate.
Oh, they've tagged me. I think it's resting blank face.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't really like to smile. I'm not a big fan of them. Someone, Budo on the Twitch, Brian, says you could be nicknamed assistant to the rundown manager. That's pretty good.
It's kind of an office ripoff, but I'll take it.
It's very much an office ripoff, yeah. So that's not bad. Battery Chug, drafting a receiver all seven rounds, speaking to the priority thing, receiver offensive line. Can a good offensive coordinator hide the weakness of this Texans offensive line? We touched on this a little bit yesterday, Texter. I think that great coaching can certainly elevate players. There's no doubt about that. Can a great coaching staff also benefit from better players? There's no doubt about that. The thing is, we have no idea unless we see the two common denominators. Like, the only way we're going to know if Kaylee and Popovich is greater than Slowick and Strouser when developing and coaching up an offensive line is if they have the same offensive line. And I don't think anybody wants that.
Yeah, no, I think that. That's why I was talking to Brian before the show. It's like, you know, with Kaylee talking to the media tomorrow, I'm just really curious because no matter what he says, I'm sure there's people that are going to, you know, they're wanting and they're expecting that, hey, I want to know, you know, what offense you're going to run. And is it going to be more Shanahan? Is it going to be more McVay? Is it going to be this? Is it going to be that? And I think that until you can have like a skeleton, you have an idea of what you want to run, but until you know what your personnel is going to be going into camp, you really can't completely tailor make it to what you want.
Yeah. Yeah. I think good coaching can make the offensive line better, but you would also need the common denominators. Beanham, my name's Branham, not Beanham. It's called atrial fibrillation. That's the one that Kareem Abdul-Jabbar has the commercial for.
Atrial fib, right? AFib?
Yeah, but the fib is short for fibrillation.
Yeah, that sounds right. Or fibrillation, whatever it is.
I think there's an R. The texter put an R in there.
Because the atrial is for the heart.
I guess. I don't know, man. I just hope it keeps beating. 409 Josh, is Blankers putting Dunkin' Creamer in his Starbucks?
Nope. Do you want to know what creamer I use?
I would like to know.
It is Silk Almond Milk Creamer.
Well, that's healthy.
Yeah.
So no sweetness there.
Yeah, it is. It's I forget the exact flavor of it, but it's not the caramel or the vanilla, but it's got a little kick to it.
Is that good for the tank?
Yeah.
That's good. Yeah. Spend money on the line, draft the wide receiver. I tend to agree with that. I think that because I don't love the way that Nick Caserio evaluates offensive linemen, Kenyon Green, not good. Juice Scruggs, maybe the jury's still out there, but kind of a reach, maybe. Jarrett Patterson's been fine as a sixth rounder, but is Jarrett Patterson a fixture as a starter on the offensive line? Probably not. And he's also drafted receivers very well. So, like, if I had to pick one of those, spend money on one, draft the other, how would you possibly say draft the O lineman and spend money on the receiver? No one could say that. No one could say that about Caserio.
No, no. And I think, you know, I think when you look at what Nick's done in his track record, but you also look at kind of, and also his successes, I think to me and what we've talked about is, I don't know that I necessarily want him to take an offensive lineman in the first round. And I know that some of the things I've questioned and you've questioned is just his ability to analyze and draft offensive linemen. But I know that he's done well with receivers. And I know that, you know, there's always receivers. When you look at the past several drafts in the NFL, you can get receivers all over in the first and or early second round that can contribute immediately and be a big help to your team. And I think that that's something, that's why I've been very high on the fact that if you want to use that late first and you want to get into the receiver market, I'd be all for it.
Texture says Eric Ayumano looks like a Nick Caserio special in the third round-ish Stanford guy. I know the name. I'm not that familiar with his game, if I'm being honest. I've seen his name pop up in best balls and stuff like that. In fact, I think I drafted him today. I think I drafted Eric. Is it pronounced
Ayumano?
Don't
really know his
today?
Name. Don't know who he is, but I drafted him in best ball.
I'm pretty sure that I did.
The Jeremy Branham story.
Let's see.
How many draft?
I did. He was my last pick. And he's not. This guy didn't put the R at the end of his name. It's. I think he misspelled his first name, too. I think it's Elek Ayumaner. I think is how you say it. This guy misspelled his name altogether. But
was
no,
this
it was
your
my last
first
pick.
Share of him?
No, I think it maybe it's my second.
Okay.
Maybe my. I mean, late round flyer.
I assume you're
receiver.
Double digits now for your best ball drafts.
I think I'm like at 7 or 8.
Okay.
7 or 8. Yeah, I drafted. Let's see if I drafted any Texans in this one. Oh, yeah, I took Damian Pierce last round. Just in case, you know.
Yeah,
what
I
if
mean,
he
if
makes
he's
an injury?
If he's a backup in a better system,
better
and one injury to mix in, and all of a sudden he's valuable.
Everything I read says the gap scheme's better for Damian Pierce than the zone blocking scheme. So maybe there's upside for him as a round 20 pick. My favorite 18th round pick right now, sorry to go on a tangent here, Noah Gray. Noah Gray, Kansas City tight end. I think
betting
one
on the Kelce retirement?
Yeah. Multiple things. Yeah. Three things here. One, I think he already produced 18th round value this past season as a backup.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like
two,
six, seven touchdowns.
Travis Kelce was injured, was healthy the entire year. He didn't miss a game. I don't think he missed a game. He didn't miss a game. So, like, he's producing already better than an 18th rounder with the tight end above him not missing a game. And then third, what if Kelce retires? Where does
that's
Gray go up
thing.
To? Gray's probably a 10th rounder at that point. If he becomes Mahomes' tight end, so yeah, I'm getting him in the 18th round. Kelce retires, he's all of a sudden a 10th round pick. That's a free ticket right now.
No,
free
it's,
ticket.
It's a good strategy.
I think it's, a good call.
Yeah,
I think it's definitely
late.
A good call, especially just from the Kelce perspective.
My three quarterbacks were Lamar, Cam Ward, and Derek Carr. I got Lamar so high, I was like, yeah, I'm going to kind of throw away the other two quarterbacks.
Yeah,
spots.
You don't need them. That's a, that's,
no.
That's
and Cam Ward's a, got
good,
running
good
potential.
Point, yeah.
You know, yeah, I like that. I actually like this team. But enough about. No one cares about anybody else's fantasy football team. That's my bad. But yeah, Eric. I think it's. I don't know how to pronounce it, but there's an R at the end of the name, dude. You guys don't know anything about hand cranking a window up every automobile you're ridden in as electric windows. That can't be true for blankers.
Definitely not true for me.
What was your first car
that I drove?
Yes.
A.
I thought you were about to say a Pinto.
I was.
Firebird.
I was. It was either a Pinto station wagon or the original Honda Civic, that small, almost like it looks like a smart car now.
Yeah.
The first Civic, which was really, really small.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, we didn't have money, and you know, you bought whatever was cheap and ran.
I'm pretty sure my first car had a crank window.
Mine did, too.
Both of them did. Those two cars I just mentioned, both of them did.
Mine was a 94 4Runner.
Yeah, mine was a 92 Ford Escort.
And it had a crank-up
window?
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know what year where it became, where like the standard was the automated window, but I know in 92 it wasn't, and that was my first one.
I think. I don't remember. I could be wrong on that, but I think. I don't remember.
And the Civic didn't have power steering.
Really?
Yeah, that was.
Wait,
that,
what year are we talking about?
What year of a car?
Yeah, what year car?
Whenever like the first whenever the first Honda Civics came out. I mean, they wasn't brand new, so it was several years after that. But
I just thought, at least by sometime in the '80s, power steering was pretty standard.
Yeah, but so if I'm getting a car that has been on the market, you know, been used for a long period of time, it's probably been around 15 years. So it's, yeah, probably had hand crank windows, and it definitely didn't have power steering.
So it was just hard to steer it?
Oh, yeah.
That sounds awful.
You
have to lean into it. I've only driven a car once that didn't have power steering. You have to, yeah. It's
and in the snow, in the wintertime, it's a challenge.
Yeah, I've had the power steering go out, but I feel like that was...
If you try to drive it like that, it's similar because,
Once you're moving, it's okay, but from a standstill, like from a stoplight, if you have to turn,
but
you're
like
really
if you're driving
to...
in the snow and you start to go one direction, you got to go the other, and it's not like power steering where you can just turn it really quickly and get the vehicle to switch directions. You got to put something on it.
Yeah, I would imagine. That sounds terrible. Palpitation is the correct word in use in that instance, where it randomly skips a beat. That's when you know you've had enough coffee, in my opinion.
Uh-huh.
Tell Ron Burgundy, I think he's talking about me, that once he has drank so much coffee, he is feeling lightheaded and his heart skips a beat, to switch to triple espresso shots every 15 minutes. I don't think that's the way to go. I don't think it'd be good for the old ticker. Probably not, huh?
Probably not.
Probably not the
probably
way to
not
go.
The most health conscious.
Also, no one needs to tell Ron Burgundy that, because I can read that. But you can call me Ron Burgundy. That's fine. I've been called worse. 713-780-ESPN. Stephon Diggs, Cooper Kupp, Deebo Samuel, DeAndre Hopkins, Hollywood Brown. Do any of those guys move the needle? Of those guys, who would you want? 713-780-3776. Killer Bees, ESPN 97.5, ESPN 92.5.
ESPN 97.5. Back with the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
I don't like when Brian takes off work, so whenever he comes back after 2 days of being hungover after the Super Bowl, I like to point out and nitpick all the little things that he's done wrong. It's my way of shaming him. No show tweet today, either.
He's right.
It's accurate. There's reasons for it, but it's accurate.
Yeah, Jittery Jeremy is not good for you right now, B-Mac. I'm sure I'll get my dose of it.
I think he would do this even if he wasn't jittery, though. I think jittery is unrelated to his sassiness.
I like to be a little confrontational from time to time. All right, 713-780-ESPN. It's all in good faith. It's all in jest.
Is it? Well, in good faith.
Half.
I don't know what that's supposed to mean, but... Just,
what is the old saying? Like, half of every joke has truth to it? I think that's the saying.
There are jokes, stereotypes. There's lots of things that go along with that. Yeah.
I think truth, it's like...
There's like, truth in the middle.
Yeah, I think that's like another saying. But they're all kind of synonymous with the same.
I've used it before where they say, you know, when you start hearing rumors, the truth lies somewhere in the middle.
Yeah, yeah. I've heard that one, too. Yeah, they're all kind of the same little silly saying. I really don't care. I just thought it was funny.
Or half of kidding is serious.
Yeah. It's all kind of mixed in together. I really don't care, full transparency, but I like to throw jabs every now and then, have a little bit of fun. But 713-780-ESPN. These receivers, these are all names that have been, like, out there. Stephon Diggs, right? You had him last season. You save money by signing Stephon Diggs. I think the hit's like $17 million if you don't get a deal done with Diggs. Cooper Kupp is out there to trade for. Maybe he does get released at some point. I doubt it. I think it would require a trade. Deebo Samuel is being talked about as another trade piece around the league. DeAndre Hopkins, that stupid Twitter handle, NFL Rums, which I really don't believe this, but they threw out DeAndre Hopkins, a reunion with the Houston Texans, and then Hollywood Brown is going to be a free agent as well. How much do – let's go one by one through these guys, okay, and we'll land on where you want. First, with Stephon, move the needle, scale of 1 to 10. Where are you at with Diggs' reunion, return?
I'd say 5.
Ooh, that's light, I think.
Yeah, it's light because of the injury. I just don't know what I don't know on, like, when he's going to be available.
And right?
Yeah, he's older. You know, you don't know how he's going to – look, we just had talked about it from an Astros perspective yesterday about how many guys, no matter when you have the surgery, you just don't know, like, until they actually get back and get activated, like, when they're going to be ready to play again. And so the injury concerns me. The contract, I think, would be where they could afford it. He's not going to be on the really super high end. but there's just too many question marks for me to go more than a five right now.
Yeah. The age coming off a, major knee surgery, not what it used to be, but still, it's pretty significant. The money savings to me is why I'm higher than a five, because if you're saving $17 million on your bottom line by bringing him back versus a Cooper Kupp, who's probably a little better, I guess we could argue that, but the savings is what would have that number a little higher for me. I'll go seven on Diggs.
Yeah, I'm with Joel on this one, about a five. Like, I think if we knew this was Stephon Diggs of last year, who I thought looked pretty good, not exactly first half Stephon Diggs of 2023, but he still looked like he was an upper level wide receiver. Unfortunately, though, as he reaches, he's 32 going into the season, or about to be 32?
He'll be 32 next year.
Yeah, I mean, that's where we saw Andre drop off. That's where we saw, Larry Fitzgerald might have been a little bit later, but that's where we see a lot of these elite wide receivers drop off. So you combine that with the recovery from the ACL injury that happened like halfway through the year, so you're unsure of the timeline. I think that dropped me from what it would have been like a seven, maybe seven and a half, to a five.
Yeah, fair. He was on a pace to go over 100 catches, over 1,000 yards. He was going to have a fantastic season.
Yeah, he was playing.
Going to have a fantastic season, but those are valid concerns. Certainly not going to knock those concerns. Cooper Kupp, who would require a trade and probably a significant contract extension.
Boy. Look, I think he hasn't fallen off at all. I think ability, it's all there. It's the double whammy of I got to give up something to get him, and then I'm going to have to pay him. And if he's looking for an extension, that makes it even more dicey. I'm going to say six.
Okay, he's older than Stephon Diggs.
I think he's better right now than Stephon
Diggs. I think it's pretty even. I think it's very, very close on which of the two is better. Also, yes, Diggs is coming off an injury, but Cooper Kupp last season played 12 games the year prior to that, played 9 games the year prior to that. So he didn't have, he had a major injury, but he's had injuries each of the last 3 seasons. It would come with a trade, it would come with money that you're probably going to have to get him a pretty decent extension. And then you lose the money that you would be, gaining, basically, by signing Stephon Diggs. So Cooper Kupp, for me, is actually at a three. I don't want Cooper Kupp.
Yeah, if this would be a different number for me if he were released and you weren't having to factor in the trade assets to move in order to acquire him, but I'm at a two. I mean, he's played. I mean, you could probably only pencil him in for 9-10 games a season. He did have some huge games last year, but his production and usage started to drop off second half of the year. You wonder if Sean McVay saw a little bit of a drop off there. So you factor that in with the new contract. I'm at a two. Now, if he was free because he got released, I'd bump it up to a four. But I just don't want to give up the trade. I don't want to give up picks to get them on top of having to extend them.
The trade scenarios I saw, they were about a fourth rounder.
I heard fourth as well.
Which is still, it's significant. Fourth rounder is significant.
Owen Daniels is a fourth round pick. You can get good players there.
I think you can get a good running back in this year's draft in the fourth.
Damien Pierce should have been a 1,000-yard running back as a rookie. He was a fourth round pick.
Yeah, I think you can get a good running, especially in this year's draft. I think this is a running back heavy draft where you can find a pretty solid one in the middle rounds. Debo Samuel.
Three.
Yeah, Debo's doesn't really interest me that much either. He's he's older and he's also been banged up a lot. Plus you're looking at trading for him just like the Cooper Kupp trade, and now you're also talking about extending him as well. And the Texans cap situation ain't great. I saw they're $6 million under the cap. Now they can clear up money, restructures, releases, all of that stuff. But I don't have tons of interest in trading for Debo and then giving him a high percentage of my cap.
Yeah,
I'm at a two.
Honestly, I'm at a one. I don't want him at all. When was the last year Debo was great? 2021?
Yeah,
maybe 2022. And even then, when you factor in how great he was, you're talking about, as a running back, as a receiver, he really hasn't been great since
maybe 21. 21, he had a 1,400-yard year.
Yeah, 2021, he was great as a wide receiver. Then last 3 seasons, plus you factor in contract, you factor in trade compensation, I'm completely out.
Yeah, his versatility is, it's attractive to add to the football team. I think the attitude has been bad. I think that, the diminishing skills, I think that, the fact that he plays 2 positions, but does he play either one like a guy worthy of the contract that he's making? And I don't think that as a 2 receiver, if he was just playing receiver, is he capable of being the kind of two that even a Cooper Kupp and or a Diggs could play when if both of them are healthy?
I've always heard he's a great teammate.
Really?
I've never heard.
Well, I'm just saying. Remember the short everything from you know the holdout and then what he was doing. Like he was at practice, but he was kind of antagonizing instead of practicing. And then the one day I think it got down to he intentionally wore the wrong practice.
You're talking
shorts.
About Ayuk.
I thought Debo did it too.
I don't think so.
Ayuk held out to like the very end.
Ayuk was the wrong. Oh, that's right.
Well,
sure.
Well, but Debo definitely. Yeah, he got the contract first. I just think from a pure football perspective, he plays two positions, but does he play either one at a close to an elite level or a very high level for the price tag? I don't think so.
I think he's more of a gimmicky running back at this state, like, and probably more of an emergency running back. I think he's truly a receiver. Yes, he's skilled where he could have done both, like, in his prime. I think he's past being a guy who can play running back semi-often. But, yeah, I'm out on that. How about DeAndre Hopkins? This NFL rumors Twitter, which I don't put any stock in any of these aggregate sites, but it's fun to do the hypothetical anyways. Mm-hmm. DeAndre Hopkins, how interested would you be in a Hop reunion?
I think he comes at a very substantially like lower price. I think that everybody would love to see the homecoming. I just don't know what he's got left either. I think he's a possession receiver. I don't know at his age and, you know, and I don't know how durable he's going to be. And so, four?
Yeah, I'm like at a one with DeAndre Hopkins. And I love DeAndre Hopkins. We spent a night together. It was a great time. Why do you laugh at
that? Spent a night together?
We hung out
one night. You're really escalating the friendship.
Yeah, like all night?
We hung out one night for about an hour.
Hour, okay.
About an hour.
All
best
night
hour.
Long you guys hung out?
Best hour of my life, DeAndre Hopkins. Best minute of my life was whenever Joe Burrow
Have you ever
and I
said that
us.
To your wife? That, DeAndre, you spent the best hour of your life with DeAndre Hopkins?
No, I've never told her that, but I don't think she'd be surprised. I don't think that she'd be surprised by that. No, he's just too old to me. Like, Kansas City was desperate for receiver. And, like, you look at even the Super Bowl. Like, they had some of their guys back, but, like, Hollywood was back. Worthy's first-rounder. Juju was – they claimed him off waivers, didn't they? Like, Hopkins had every opportunity to take over being the guy in Kansas City when they were in desperate need for wide receiver, and he really didn't do that. I think DeAndre's way past his prime. I think the next time that DeAndre Hopkins is representing the Houston Texans is when he's standing on the sideline getting ready for his Ring of Honor ceremony. I have zero interest in a DeAndre Hopkins reunion. Zero. He's a zero.
I think find
me.
Better. Yeah,
oh, no doubt.
Better. Yep.
I mean, I put it at a one if he's your new Robert Woods and he's the fifth wide receiver on the team.
You got to be a blocker if you're the new
Robert
Woods.
I think he's going to want too much money, too, to be even, even
Is the market
going to
be there to give him any money?
I don't think so.
Like, he was completely – he had, like, 1-2 touchdown game, like, very early in his Kansas City career. It might have been the first or second week after the trade. I can't remember exactly. But outside of that, like, you look at his production, I mean, his line going into the Super Bowl was, like, literally half a catch. And I don't think he – did he even have one? I don't think he did. I don't even think he even hit that low of a line.
In the Super Bowl?
Yeah.
He caught a touchdown, Brian.
Oh, maybe it was after I turned the game off.
He caught a two-point conversion.
No, he caught a touchdown in the Super Bowl. He might have caught a two-point conversion.
I think he got a two-point touchdown.
Worthy of caught both
I think you might be right, but I know he caught a touchdown.
Okay. I turned the game off at one point. It might have been after I turned it off.
It was late.
But, yeah, no, I think he's completely shot. I would only be willing to do it if he's literally Robert Woods, 1 year, $2 million, something like that.
I hear you on that, but even that, I'm out. Like, that fifth receiver needs to do gimmicky things. Like, he must be a really good blocker. He's got to be playing special teams. Even on that scenario, I'm out on that. His last few games, he went 218 touchdown in the Super Bowl, but 218. He went 1-for-11 against Buffalo. He was catchless against the Texans. Last regular season game, he played it on Christmas against Kansas City, 2-7. The regular season game against the Texans, 437, 536 against Cleveland, 432 against the Chargers. I think he's toast.
With Patrick Mahomes.
I think he's toast.
And not a lot of
and
competition.
And a depleted wide receiver
yeah.
room.
No, yeah, he's toast. Just, he's
no,
done.
Yeah, I'm out.
All right, next one, last one. Just talked about him. Hollywood Brown.
Tough to judge because of the fact that he was hurt for the majority of the season. I could see him filling the role of Tank. The price matters. I'll say six.
I'm about a six for Hollywood, too. I think Hollywood fits this team. I think having somebody who could take the top off of defense would really fit on this team. Even when you had Tank, Tank is very quick at point A to point B, but he's not a burner. Like, he's not somebody that you're running on a go route. He's just going to burn the defense every time. He's not Will Fuller. Like, he doesn't have a 4.240. He's more quick than he is fast. I think a Hollywood Brown type would really help this offense. Might not catch 50, 60 passes a year, but he's going to catch 35, 40 for like 600 yards and a few touchdowns. But it's going to help the overall offense. The problem here is I think he's going to be too expensive, but if they could somehow get their hands on Hollywood Brown, I'd be at a six. I think it would help this offense a ton.
Yep.
Yeah, I'm in on Hollywood. I've been someone who has argue with my friends quite a bit because people, I think, kill him for, you know, sometimes his size, sometimes it's the games he missed, and it's all fair. He does miss a lot of games, but when he's been on the field, whether it was in Arizona or Baltimore, he's been a great wide receiver when he's on the field. So you add in the talent to, I think, what you mentioned there, Jeremy, with the complementary role, like the kind of the different style of player across from Nico, the big body receiver versus the down the field deep threat with speed. I would be absolutely in on Hollywood as long as the contract's not crazy, but I kind of think it's going to get crazy.
I think he'll price himself out of the Texans for sure. Now, I wouldn't hate drafting a Hollywood Brown type.
Yeah.
Like
sure.
In the third, take the top off the defense. You're not asking for him to put up big numbers. So, like, these guys have been thrown out there. Diggs, Kupp, Debo, Hopkins, Brown. Land on one. Where are you landing?
Land on one of them?
Land on one of them.
Probably Hollywood Brown.
I'm going to go Diggs because of what it would mean for the cap. I think it makes the most sense. You save money relative to not having to hit the dead money. So I'm bringing Diggs back mostly because of the financial ramifications.
I would say Diggs because I don't have to worry about him learning the system or at least fitting in with the team. I know the system could change, obviously, new offensive coordinator, so maybe that's a moot point. But the familiarity with Diggs, we know he's worked here. He's obviously hit it off with the guys on the team already. I think I'd lean there because we're probably talking about 2-year contracts either way.
Yeah.
So you're not really worried about the age all that much or as far as long term. So I'd go with the guy that's fit on this team.
And it's probably all guaranteed in year one, too.
Right?
Like you're looking at a 2-year deal with the guarantee all in year one, where that second year is pretty much a moot point unless he balls out. Soriano says so. No Tyreek or Higgins. Tyreek's is under contract, and he's also like recanted the whole "I want out." So I don't.
Yeah, he seems like he's made up with the Dolphins.
Yeah. And now he has Bobby Slowick in his life. How could you want to leave that?
I'm also curious. I think the Jets probably, and I maybe Garrett Wilson and maybe both have changed their mind, but I don't think the Jets are going to trade Garrett Wilson.
No, yeah, I think Garrett Wilson didn't want to be there if Rodgers was there, but now that Rodgers has been kicked out, I think Garrett Wilson's going to stay.
Which is a great decision by Aaron Glenn. Great decision by Aaron Glenn. He also mentions Higgins. Higgins I didn't include because he's going to be the most expensive receiver on the market. Few texts on this. 713-780-ESPN. If Dig really wants to come back, I'll take him all over all those other cats. Hollywood Brown, if healthy, would be perfect for the Texans. They need someone to stretch the field, and he'd be relatively cheap. See, we disagree on the cheap thing. I think somebody's going to pay him. I think he's going to get paid.
Is it
closer to Diggs? Or?
I think he and Diggs will get a similar money.
Well, just because I think I agree with you, but the recent history, would contradict it or contradict that because his last contract, the one he signed with the Chiefs, I believe, was just 1 year, $11 million or 1 year, $10 million.
That's not terrible.
Maybe he gets a big deal, but
think part of that was a chance to win a Super Bowl and play with Mahomes?
Yeah, for sure. Let's see if there's a salary cap projection of Hollywood Brown.
I just wonder, like, because he didn't do anything this year because of the injury to really improve his standing in the market.
Yeah,
so
it's like a pitcher who throws 99. Like, you really don't have to do anything other than show that you can throw 99. Yeah, I wonder. Maybe it will be less than Diggs. Maybe it's a year for 12 or 15.
Like, if it was 2 years, 20.
Do you still think that's too much, though?
For a guy like Hollywood Brown, no, I don't think 2 and 20 is too much.
No. I'm saying for what you have and to spend in free agency. They're at $6 million right now. Maybe Casario can be creative and get it to 20, 25. But like, if you had that little to spend, do you want to spend $10 million of that little?
No, I'd rather spend on Hollywood. It's a line of draft wide receiver.
Exactly. Like, he might be valuable relative to the league, but if he's taking 35-40% of your cap savings.
Yeah, and again, especially since the receivers have seemed to have no problem in recent years being productive in year one when they come into the league, as opposed to we know what we're dealing with the offensive linemen and the line issues. So, yeah, probably go that direction.
That's why I don't think they're going to be able to spend on I don't think they're going to be able to spend very much on receiver at all, unless it's Diggs, because it's actually going to save you money. You don't have to take the $10 million dead cap. What about Chris Godwin? I like Godwin a lot. I think he's going to be too pricey.
I also think he's returning to Tampa.
I think they want him back, yeah.
I think he leaves.
The rumors that I keep reading all have him going back to Tampa.
Really?
It seems pretty strong, like a pretty strong connection there.
I thought they would just give Jalen McMillan the keys to wide receiver, too. I like Jalen McMillan. Darius Slayton is my choice. That might make sense.
He's pretty good, and
he's pretty valuable. I don't think he's going to cost you an arm and a leg like these other receivers. Just to sign a name is more of the Astros' way of general managering. Is that a word? No, it's not, but I know exactly what you mean. When Debo started crying, that's when his stock went down to the Niners. They had their chance, and that chance is over, and we don't want no used trash. I wouldn't call Debo trash. That's a little harsh. Just stick with Diggs. All these guys have injuries. We have that in Diggs, but with chemistry, quicker turnaround and cheaper.
Diggs has injuries too. I mean, we don't know when he's going to be back, and he's got to overcome all of that too. So I get it. A lot of other guys have been dinged up. So has Diggs.
Christian Kirk says somebody. That would be interesting. Reclamation project coming off of an injury. Texture says the Hollywood $7 million this year. You start getting to about the $7 million, it becomes pretty interesting.
I'll take $7 million for Hollywood to be a fill-in for Tank.
Tank Dell experiment should end. Love him, but can't count on him. You're a hater, 0045. What's the harm? He's on a rookie contract. Yeah. Like, I agree with you that you're probably not going to spend big money on re-signing him when that rookie contract is up. But why would you just – it's like cutting Lance McCullers. There's zero purpose of doing that. There's zero win there. There's no reward. Soriano, disagree on the Ring of Honor take for DeAndre. He has to leave Houston when things got bad tough. That automatically disqualifies him. The way that I remember it is that he wanted more money. Mm-hmm. He didn't demand a trade. Is that how y'all remembered it?
I think that's accurate.
Yeah.
Yes.
How I remember it is he asked for more money.
I don't think he even did yet. I think the rumor was he was going to ask more money in the offseason. So Billy O and
Jack Easterby got pissed off, made up something about baby mamas, and used it as a way to push him out the door.
Yeah, plus they were talking on the Super Bowl, the McNairs and DeAndre. Did you see that? Gave the McNair children the gloves.
Yeah, I think he'll be in the Ring of Honor as soon as he's done.
Oh,
no
Within
doubt.
A year or two.
Yeah, I think there's no doubt because he was arguably the best receiver in the NFL while a member of the Texans. Yeah. And he didn't ask to leave, as far as we know. Yeah, he'll be in the Ring of Honor.
You know what? You know what I'm going to do to Soriano? He made the list. Soriano
just made the list.
What do you mean that DeAndre Hopkins doesn't belong in the Ring of Honor? You made the list, Soriano. All right, 713-780-ESPN. Somebody that everybody in Houston's sick of. Alex Bregman. These reports are exhausting. What do we believe? What don't we believe? What are the chances he's coming to Houston? 713-780-3776. Killer Bees, ESPN 97.5, ESPN 92.5.
ESPN 97.5.
I assume you knew?
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Dreaming of blissful summer days and creamy popsicles? Capture sun-drenched memories with the Orange Vanilla Dream Hydration Multiplier from Liquid IV. Just one stick and 16 ounces of water can help hydrate you better than water alone. Live your summer dream with Liquid IV. Tear, pour, live more. Go to liquidiv.com and get 20% off your first order with code INDULGE20 at checkout.
Finding great candidates to hire can be like, well, trying to find a needle in a haystack. Sure, you can post your job to some job board, but then all you can do is hope the right person comes along. Which is why you should try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/zip. ZipRecruiter doesn't depend on candidates finding you. It finds them for you. Its powerful technology identifies people with the right experience and actively invites them to apply to your job. You get qualified candidates fast. So while other companies might deliver a lot of hay, ZipRecruiter finds you what you're looking for. The needle in the haystack.
See why 4 out of 5 employers who post a job on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire. And right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free. That's right, free. at ZipRecruiter.com/zip. That's ZipRecruiter.com/zip. ZipRecruiter.com/zip.